In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Beacon of Truth. I am your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So thrilled to be with you today, especially because today is a very special day for me. This is the feast day of St. John Paul the Great, right? St. John Paul II, who was a massive influence in my life. No question and no doubt about it. And today is his day. Now, you know, if it's optional memorial, right? But for me personally, and this is just me, if I were Pope, I would do three things with regard to John Paul II. One, I would elevate today from being an optional memorial to an obligatory memorial. One. Two, I would make him a doctor of the church. All right, so that's two. And then three, I would officially name him the fourth great pope. So we have Leo the Great, Gregory the Great, Nicholas the Great, and then it would be John Paul the Great. Now, some people like myself and others already refer to him as the Great, but that's just, coming from our hearts, right? There's been no official pronouncement, but to me, he is great. I first started knowing him when I was serving Mass as a, I must have been fifth grade or sixth grade. And all the way through high school and college, you know, it was John Paul our Pope, Peter our Bishop, right? I grew up in the Archdiocese of Newark. It was Peter Garrity, who was the Archbishop when I was younger. So John Paul our Pope, Peter our Bishop. John Paul our Pope, Peter our Bishop. It's like ingrained, you know, it's like a, it's kind of like a mantra. I used to hear and get Mass every single week or daily Mass when I used to serve daily Mass as a youngster. You know, that rhythm of John Paul our Pope, Peter our Bishop. And where I really got to know him was actually the year I graduated from college, from Notre Dame. That's when I was first introduced to him. His document Mulieris Dignitatem came out on the Solemnity of the Assumption, August 15th, 1988. Now, I had just graduated from college, but I was still living on campus. I worked for a year for the police department at Notre Dame and then joined the Benedictines in Newark. So during that year, as I was discerning, because I decided to take a year and, you know, what is it like to live in an apartment, you know, to own a car and, you know, that kind of thing. And I was still getting spiritual direction from the rector of my dorm. Obviously, I wasn't in a dorm anymore since I graduated, but I was living in an apartment complex in town with a bandmate, a friend of mine. He played saxophone in our kind of R&B funk band, Ken Schwartz, who I'm still friends with to this day, who lives in New York. And we lived together in an apartment off campus, and I was getting spiritual direction from Father Patrick Sullivan. God rest his soul. I was so grateful. He's the priest, one of the priests that married my wife and I. He was the rector of my dorm at Holy Cross, and just a wonderful friend and mentor. I received spiritual direction from him for that year, and I was able to attend his funeral up at the Holy Cross in Massachusetts. Probably several months ago now. That's when I, through Father Pat, learned about John Paul II, and everybody was talking about this guy. So let me read something by him. So the first thing I picked up was Mulieris Dignitatem on the dignity of vocation of women, and it just rocked me. I mean, it was beautiful. It was profound. I never heard anybody kind of write that way, kind of articulate the faith that way. And it just moved my heart. I mean, the man's brilliant. He has two doctoral degrees. So he's brilliant. But that document just, I was like, wait, wow. It put scripture in a perspective for me that I never thought about before. It really moved my mind and my heart in a very profound way. And I just said, ooh, I got to read more of this guy. I fell in love with him. And then in graduate school at the University of Dallas, Mark Brumley, actually, who is the editor at Ignatius Press, was a adjunct professor at the University of Dallas at that time in the program that I was in. Father Mitch Pack was also teaching scripture at that time as well. I took all my scripture classes from Father Mitch. And Mark Brumley taught our John Paul II class. We had an entire class on the theology and anthropology of John Paul II. And I loved every second of that class, reading, pouring into his encyclicals and his apostolic dissertations and his apostolic letters. And I just loved it, and even solidified my love for him even more. When he died, I remember exactly where I was. I was sitting on the set of TBN. Some of you know my story. I did some television work for TBN. And I was sitting on the set. We're about to film an episode of a series I was doing with them. And when I got a text message from Carl Olson. Carl Olson's a classmate of mine from the University of Dallas and lives in, and he's also the editor of Catholic World Report. And he lives in Oregon as well, just south of Eugene. He sent me a text message as I was sitting on the set, and he said that John Paul II had died. And I remember just like being stunned, like I almost couldn't move, you know, and I just had this profound sadness. It really felt like one of my parents had died. You know, now, I mean, now both my parents are deceased, so I know what it's like to lose a parent. And it felt the same way when John Paul II died. In honor of him, I wrote a document. I didn't know what to do, how to deal with his loss in my life. And so, I of course I watched EW10 and all the amazing coverage that the network had on John Paul II back then. But I also decided to do something for myself. It wasn't anything that I planned to publish or anything like that. It was just kind of my way to honor him. And so I kind of wrote a document that's kind of in the style of an encyclical. You know, all the paragraphs are numbered and all that stuff. And I wrote that and kind of taking different aspects of his thought from some of my favorite documents and kind of espousing on them. And actually, most of that, you know, how God works? Most of that made it into my book, Behold the Man, my very first book. And so a lot of that, which I wrote and reflected on, I took that and used it in my book. On the Catholic theology of authentic male spirituality. And so a lot of it. So you see a lot of John Paul II and his thought in there throughout that book. Because what I want to do is take his anthropology, his way of looking at humanity. And he expressed that beautifully with women, right? Mulieris Dignitatem, Letter to Women. He also talks about motherhood in Flammaris Consortio, his beautiful encyclical on the family. But he didn't really do a ton for men. And so I kind of took his anthropology and applied it to Catholic male spirituality. So that's why he shows up so much in my book. Now, you know, I have very beautiful and fond memories of him. And I still draw from his writings to this day. You know, I still read him. Obviously, he's probably most famously known for the theology of the body, right? And his series of Wednesday audiences that have been compiled and now popularized by people like Christopher West and others who have taken that beautiful understanding of the nature of the human person, what it means, and especially today. I mean, it's very, very timely today. We have so much confusion about marriage and gender and those kinds of things, and John Paul II provided such a beautiful clarity in his thought. You know, so I want to just talk about John Paul the Great today. Today is his feast day. Would love to hear from you. Maybe you have some thoughts on John Paul too. Maybe you've read him. Maybe you've had some profound experiences with his spirituality. Would love to hear your encounter with John Paul too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And of course, stay tuned because we're going to do the Soulful Psalm segment, which so many people, especially the men at the men's conference I spoke at this last weekend in Allentown, really enjoyed that. So stay tuned for that. And again, you want to call us about John Paul II, 833-288-EWTN.
Just a bunch of wah-wahs.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about St. John Paul II today. You know, he was an artist.
Yeah.
You know, he was an actor. You know, he was a writer. I know he very much appreciated music as well. Probably not the stuff that we're playing here. But
I don't know. Maybe. Band,
but, you know, but I think as an artist in that kind of mind that he would very much appreciate what we're trying to do here on Beacon of Truth when we have these musical interludes.
Well, and as you were kind of sharing your catalog of many hats you've worn prior to the seats you sit in now, I was thinking the same thing, like how many other hats did JP2 have prior to becoming Pope? Like what were all of his incarnations that God took him to, that led him to prepare him to be the Pope, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And everything that happens prepares you for what ultimately God has planned for you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's very much the case for John Paul, too, and myself and everybody else out there as well. You just have to be open to what direction the Holy Spirit wants to take you in. So,
yeah. So don't ever say, why do I got to learn this? You never know.
You never know. That's right. That's right. We're talking about John Paul the Great today on his feast day. Would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Someone else we consider to be rather great is Father Spritzer, who has actually got a book that you want to make sure you check out, Father Spritzer's Universe, Exploring Life's Big Questions. So what are some of those big questions you have about your faith, about what's happening in the world? How do we look at that? How do we pray? How do we deal with life's trials? Lots of great stuff. You can, of course, check that out on our religious catalog. Just go to EWTNRC.com.
Well, when you hear that music, it's time to break open God's Word in this Soulful Psalms segment of Beacon of Truth. This is where we take the psalms that we hear every day in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and we share some reflections on how God is speaking to us in and through the hymnal used by the Jewish people in the worship of God. And so as always, we're using the Revised Grail Psalms. This is a new version of the Psalms that's been approved for use, liturgical use in the church by the U.S. bishops and was translated by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. So we're looking at Psalm 21. We're going to stay in Book 1 of the Psalms today, Psalms 1 through 41, of course, all attributed to David. And the first line of this psalm is the prescript, the entire first verse, simply saying, "For the choir master, a psalm of David." Very simple. And it starts in verse 2. In your strength, O Lord, the king rejoices. How greatly your salvation makes him glad. Right? So, see, the king rejoices in the strength of God. Right? And this is beautiful because I think David would take this same idea. And when he's dying, and we see this in 1 Kings chapter 2, when Solomon is before him and he's about to pass on his authority as king to his son Solomon, he tells him to be strong and show yourself a man. And he tells him how he's supposed to do that. Walk in the ways of the Lord, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies, as it is written in the word of God, he says. So not your strength, not in power, not in authority, not in women, not in domination, not in winning battles. It's the strength of the Lord that you rely on if you are to be successful as a king, right? That's where your joy comes from, knowing that you're drawing strength from God, right? And not from yourself. And how greatly your salvation makes him glad. Love that. You have granted him his heart's desire. You have not withheld the prayer of his lips. So David is thanking and acknowledging the Lord for the things that God has done in his life, right? And we need to take time to do the same thing. Are we taking time to thank? Yeah, when things are going tough, oh yeah, God's all over the place in our lives then. We're constantly asking God, begging God to take the cross from us, to help us to get through whatever we're going through. But once we come out on the other side, are we taking that kind of time also to thank God and to rejoice in his love and his mercy and his salvation? Right. So David's teaching us something beautiful here about opening our hearts to say thank you to the Lord. In verse 4, you came to meet him with blessings of prosperity. You have set on his head a crown of pure gold. Right. So David, remember, received the blessing when he was still living with his father, Jesse, in Bethlehem. That's when the prophet, we see this in 1 Samuel 16, where Samuel shows up to the house of Jesse and to anoint the new king. And it turns out that that future new king of Israel would be David, the teenager. He anointed him with the oil. It says the Holy Spirit rushed upon him from that day forward. And as long as David continued to cooperate with the grace that he received, he will be able to do wonderful things for the people of Israel. He asked you for life, and this you have given, days that will last from age to age. You know, see how reflective David is being here. So he's recounting, okay, the Lord has put me as king. He put this crown of gold on my head. He put me as the leader of his people. But then he moves from that. He goes deeper. It goes deeper. It's not just the title. Right, it's not just the fact that he's the king and that he has the all the accoutrement that goes with being the king, right? He asked you for life, and this you have given, right? He asked you for life. So David asked the Lord for life, right? And this is beautiful. This is something that we also see reflected in Solomon, right? When the Lord comes to Solomon while he's asleep after David dies in a dream, he asks him, What would you want me to give you? He asked, what would you like? And think about it. What would you ask for? Money, power, you know, help pay my bills, pay my mortgage off, find me a better job, whatever. He prays for wisdom, chokma in Hebrew, sapientia in Latin. He asks for an understanding mind, right? And David has asked the Lord for life, and this you have given, days that will last from age to age. So when he says age to age, or sekulah, sekulorum, forever and ever, it's not just, therefore, the life in this world. He's anticipating the life that will last forever, right? He's anticipating the life that will last forever. And this is why we have to build a culture of life, right? The Lord is asking us to protect life, especially those who are most vulnerable among us, the child in the womb and the elderly and infirm, and those who are sick and are unable to take care of themselves. You know, God gave us life to help build a culture of life so that everyone can flourish, so that God's plan can be fulfilled in the people that he helped to create. You know, and the fact that we get to participate in his beautiful plan of creation as well is awesome. And verse 6, we're not going to get through this whole thing. We're probably going to get through the next few verses here in the time that we have remaining. By your saving help, great is his glory. Right? So, again, David is doing some parallelisms here. So, but in a different way. So, he's talking about the saving help of the Lord is where his glory comes from. So again, acknowledging that his glory is not something that's generated by him. This is something that comes from God. You have bestowed upon him majesty and splendor. You have granted him blessings forever, made him rejoice with the joy of your presence. Right? I love that. He has granted him his blessings. So in other words, God's blessing, especially the blessings for us in his covenant relationship with us, his blessings will never end. Right? He's going to continue to bless us. He's going to continue to open his incredible, merciful, beautiful heart and pour out that love upon us as long as we remain open to receiving what the Lord is giving us. And that causes us to rejoice with the joy of being in the presence of God. Right? So again, the great joy that I've experienced in John Paul II, you know, was an ardent practitioner of Eucharistic adoration. You know, just like Mother Teresa, you know, was also very devoted to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. And so rejoicing in the presence of God, yes, in the Blessed Sacrament, but also in one another, you know, and that's one of the things I talk about this in my book, Building a Civilization of Love, A Catholic Response to Racism, is that we have to see the image and likeness of God in the person standing in front of us. And when we can do that, when we see someone the way God sees them, that opens up a whole new dimension of how we relate to others, relate to our brothers and sisters, because we're appreciating them with the love and the heart of Christ.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've mentioned this before, but the psalm ties in nicely of thinking about when you're facing someone or something and your immediate flesh is, well, I'm going to get them. Whereas really it should be a device in our minds and our hearts to go, this is a child of God. I am a child of God. I don't want to misrepresent. I don't want to, you know, in the same way that grace was given to us from God over the things we've done poorly and the forgiveness that's there, we need to be granting that to others as well.
Yes, that's so true, because every life is valuable. Every life is worthy, of honor and respect. You know, and we as people of faith can't forget that. Yes, that's very trying times that we're living in right now, where that's not an important emphasis, quite frankly, in our culture today. And so we have to be the ones like David, recognizing that our strength in to be able to stand up for a culture of life, to take the ridicule that's inevitably going to come because we're countercultural. To take that and to say, you know what, the Lord is on my side. Therefore I do not fear. In fact, it ties in beautifully with verse 8 here. The king has placed his trust in the Lord. His not in his sword, not in his army, in the Lord. Through the mercy of the Most High, he is unshaken. Or the previous version of the psalm said, he will stand firm, right? Or in here, this says, he is unshaken. So because of that, imagine that we trust in the power of the living God, in his word, in his love, in his mercy, so much that there's nothing in this culture that can shake us. We become immovable. Immovable in God's grace, right? We're so solidified in God. We're so rooted and grounded in love that nothing in this culture can push us away or separate us from his love. You know, that's awesome. We'll continue with the rest of this psalm another time, but for now, we're going to be talking all about St. John Paul II, St. John Paul the Great, whose feast day is today. Love to be with us, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We move from the wah to the slide.
That's right.
This one.
That's our marketing strategy.
You know, I don't think I've ever played with a slide. I'm gonna have to try that. No, I don't have one.
Yeah.
But I've seen people use like bottles or something like that.
Sure. That's the cool players in my mind, because that's what I've always watched. I've seen some that have, I don't even know what that device is that you kind of put on your ring finger and just kind of
slide. It's called a slide, I think.
Yeah. As a drummer, I don't know, but I could say things that are drum terms and guitar players go, what? Okay. Which part do I hit? But that was always the cool part. Like, you see it in a music video, you know, and it's, I think Bonnie Raitt's video might be one of the examples I'm thinking of. But, yeah, that.
Yeah, Brian May uses it on Tie Your Mother Down. George Thorogood. Oh, my goodness.
One of the masters. Thing is like,
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And even Mark Knopfler, right, uses slide occasionally some songs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, very good. All right. Well, today is the feast day of St. John Paul the Great. It's all about JP2 today, my friends. Would love to hear from you. He's a major, major influence on me and my approach to writing, my approach to even preaching, my approach to the dignity of the human person, all formed by St. John Paul II. Would love to hear from you today. And we got we already got some people on hold now, so I'll get to you guys really quickly here. But I want to make sure I give the number out for more people to call to share your experience of this amazing modern-day saint in the church, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Looking forward to celebrating, as, of course, our friends in the EWTN radio family. We just got to do that last week with the radio conference. But Trinity Catholic Radio, 19 years in Carroll, Iowa. So a big shout out to Dave and Kelly and the great team there at KYMJ from all of your friends here at EWTN Radio.
All right. Again, we're talking all about John Paul II today. Again, would love to hear from you, your stories and experiences of John Paul II. Give us a call, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. And we go to Faith, calling from Crawfordville, Florida, listening on the EWTN app. Faith, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I'm on. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm glad to have you on today. What would you like to share with us?
Well, I just want to say personally, my experience with Pope St. John Paul II, also pretty transformative. I had never heard of the domestic church or theology of the body or anything like that prior to my separation and then getting into recovery and my reversion in 2020, 2021. And it was life-changing for me because it helped me to understand the dignity and that what I was doing in that separation was the right thing, although it was very hard, and even still to this day, it's really hard. And then with the divorce and then the annulment, and I said to my ex, actually, like, go find Jesus and come back to me, and he didn't. Mm. And sadly, also, is not doing the things, all the things he could be for my son, and so our son. And so anyway, it's been 4 years, and recently found out due to some stuff that I was kind of concerned about, my son's behavior during Mass specifically, that he's actually still experiencing some PTSD. And I know he's got great abandonment issues, and I've really been praying Isaiah 54 hard with, you know, like, the Lord is your husband and will raise your children, but you know, I know your story as well. And if you just have any spiritual advice for a single mom, I'll take it.
Yeah. It's just that your story resonates with me so much. And I'm remembering what it was like when my dad left and what I was feeling. Especially after divorce, then we moved to another city. I mean, I left the house that we grew up in, you know, and honestly, I never felt at home in the house that we moved into. And even though, in a sense, we were glad that at least that tension and stuff wasn't happening anymore, he's still our dad, right? And we still missed him. So what my mom did Faith, is that she made sure that there were other men in my life, not to take the place of my dad, but showed me what an authentic man of God looks like. And so I wouldn't recommend them now, but Boy Scouts, my scoutmaster was a wonder. He was Jewish, actually, but he was a great man of God, a tremendous influence in my life. I would not have anything to do with Boy Scouts now because they're woke. But that was one. My wrestling coach in high school, Mr. Mike DiPiano, was a tremendous influence in my life. The monks, I went to Benedictine High School, Newark, St. Benedict's Prep in Newark, New Jersey. Tremendous influence on me. So having introducing your son to men that would serve as a role model for him. Again, not saying this guy's going to take the place of his dad, but that they serve as positive role models. And also guys like John Paul too, you know, in a way that's age appropriate, introducing to his spirituality and the saints, the great strong male saints of the church, to show and to pray for your husband, to pray for his father. I know that's sometimes hard to do, but remember, Faith, Jesus has prayed for your enemies. My mom prayed 20 years, rosaries every day for 20 years for my dad, which I didn't even know about until 3 months before she died, where she revealed to me that she had been praying a rosary every day with the sole intention of reconciling with my father before he died. And that's exactly what happened. It took 20 years, right? God works in his time, and God's timing is always perfect. But and not only did she reconcile, I mean, they never got back together again, right, as a married couple. But whatever differences they had was reconciled before my mom died, which she prayed for 20 years. So praying together, you and your son praying for his dad, I think those things that I mentioned, Faith, would be tremendously helpful. And looking back on my own experience, I think that I wish more of that would have happened in my life as well. Is that helpful for you, Faith?
Yes. Thank you. And just one last request, please pray for me.
Oh, absolutely. Well, your name's easy to remember. you're named after one of the supernatural virtues, right? Faith, hope, and love. So, but I will remember you in a special way tonight, Faith, when I pray Vespers, an evening prayer. That's when I pray for people specifically by name, and I will remember to pray for you and your wonderful son in my prayers. And you know what? And for your ex-husband, you know? I pray for all of you, but pray for you in a special way, Faith. And thank you so much for your beautiful call. You know, this is what John Paul II does, right? All these years after his death, he's still moving people into closer intimacy with the Lord. And that's what we're talking about today. All about John Paul II, John Paul the Great, 833-288-EWTN. Maybe you've had experience with John Paul II, his spirituality, theology of the body, something that he taught, the example that he gave that changed your life. You want to hear about that? 833-288-3986. Pam is calling from Rio Vista, California, listening on Sirius XM 130. Pam, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Well, thank you very much. I want to say that when the Pope came to California, he came to the Bay Area to Candlestick Park, and that was in the 80s. And from there, he went to Laguna Seca, which is down south. So one of my daughters came with me. Another daughter went with my mom. And I wanted them to see the Pope. When would they ever have a chance to see the Pope? So I was really doing it for them. But when I saw him, even though, you know, we're in the nosebleed section, there were thousands and thousands of people, it felt like he was looking at you. It felt like he was talking directly to you. And his messages went right to the heart. There was something so special. And I brought the kids, but I was the one who was really affected by it. And I started paying attention to these encyclicals, and I started to read them. And that's, the kids were like between 7, 9 years old, somewhere around there. By the time they got to be teenagers, they had not missed Mass on Sunday. And I thought, oh, good. You know, we're setting them up for a good, you know, life, Catholic life. But we were missing a lot of stuff in our own life. You know, the faith wasn't very strong, but I kept thinking to myself at that point, I think I've kind of missed it. I love the Pope, but I think I missed it, but I'll keep bringing the kids. Maybe it'll work for them. And eventually when the kids got into their late teens, oh, they didn't want to go. And every time it was, oh, do we have to go? And I said, please hurry, we're going to be late. And eventually my husband didn't want to go either. So all the kids didn't want to go. My husband didn't want to go. At the end of this cycle of 10 years, I just felt worn out. I didn't want to argue about going to church. And one day they said, do we have to go? And I said, you know what? If you don't want to, we won't go. And they said, really? And that was it. And I was brokenhearted, but I couldn't even get myself to church. And in a very short time, one of my daughters said, Mom, I'm going to this non-denominational church. Come with me. I went, I'm Catholic. I can't go. And she kept asking it. And finally, I thought, you know, am I Catholic? What am I really? What, you know, it was a ton of confusion. And so I went with her, very nice people. Oh, very, very nice people. And they all welcomed me and said, we're having a women's group. We'd love to have you there. And I thought, wow, I never experienced that before. They seem to really like me and want me to be part of their group. So I went to one of their little meetings. It was a Bible study, but it sounded different. I kept thinking, that's not what I understand what those words are saying. But they were still very nice. And then they gave us a project, and it said, at the end of 2 years, you'll have to go back to your church and present this project. And I felt what felt like a guitar string in my belly just kind of go boing, which is my church. I have time. I don't have to worry about it today. 2 years later, before it was time to make a presentation, on April 2nd, 2005, Pope John Paul II died. And it was as though I was on the end of a slingshot and just hurled back into the church. Where do you go when Papa died? You go back home. And I went home to the church. And in my diocese, they had this huge memorial. And people that I knew and people that I didn't know, and we all grieved together. And hours went by. When I looked up, I saw this gorgeous church. It's like, but did I never see this before? Look at this beautiful crucifix. Look at the images. And there was Blessed Mother. And I was home. And she brought me home. And I am so grateful.
Oh. Amen. Thank you so much, Pam. What, so beautiful. You know, John Paul II, I can hear the emotion in your voice, the effect that John Paul II had on you. He brought so many people to faith. I mean, the man started World Youth Day, you know, and I hear stories. I mean, Matt Frad and many others. I know priests who found their vocations because of attending a World Youth Day. He understood what young people need. They need to know the why of the faith, right? They need to have a special event just for them where the church is focusing on their needs. And World Youth Day, and still to this day, you know, two popes later, we're still doing World Youth Day, which is an extremely popular event around the world. So, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people gather every year with the Holy Father to celebrate the glories of youth and young adults and their passion for the Catholic faith. So, and he did the same. I mean, John Paul did the same thing for me. He brought me, he helped me to understand the why. And I'm a child of the 70s. And a lot of it was like felt banner, Jesus, Kumbaya, Jesus, that kind of thing. And but John Paul II helped me to understand the why of the faith. Why am I Catholic? What is the teaching that underpins the reasons why I go to church? You know, I don't go to church because my parents make me go. I go to church because I want to. I'm in love with Jesus. And I want him to give me life. I gave my life to him. I want him to give me life in the Eucharist. Those kinds of things, you know. So, Pam, thank you so much for the beautiful call. You're listening to the Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And today we're talking about John Paul the Great. Today is the feast day of John Paul II. And so we're taking calls. I'm sharing some experience, my own experience with John Paul II. And we're getting some absolutely beautiful calls today from people who have been moved by John Paul II. Would love to hear from you. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Brian is calling from Connecticut. Listening on Veritas Catholic Radio. Brian, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello.
Yes, Brian.
I was just listening to what you had to say, what everyone was saying, and I just have to, but I just wanted to share, since this is Pope John Paul the Great's feast day, that when he was elected Pope on October 16th, 1978, I was in St. Peter's Square. So I saw it right from the beginning.
What?
And you just
wait,
knew.
Wait. You were there? Wait. Where? Wait a minute. Were you on pilgrimage or did your?
Well, I was living in Rome at the time.
Oh.
I was living in Rome at the time.
Okay.
And I was in my 20s. I'm now 71, but I just so I was there for his election. I saw him get when he began as the Pope for the Mass, and you just knew this Pope was special. A nun said that he was handpicked by the Holy Spirit, and I just saw how he energized my faith, but everybody else too, and the whole church. And he really got everyone excited, peacefully, but still. Got it going. He was very charismatic, and he showed us the importance again of devotion to our Blessed Mother and to the Rosary, which he got that popularized again, which needed to be done. And he just got the church going forward, and I think he brought the everything all of us with him, and he's also the Pope of. Fatima,
yes.
When with what happened with the Soviet Union, so there was a lot that went on, and I know other people were personally affected by him too. So I needed to say that this being his feast day, and he was meant a lot to me, and I know to a lot of people. That's it.
Oh, I thank you so much for your call, Brian. Truly. Appreciate that. And you were actually there during the, that's awesome. And love people sharing their experiences of John Paul II and how much he meant to them, how much he meant to their spiritual growth and their walk with Jesus and their faith. Beautiful. That's what we're talking about today. John Paul the Great, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Bob is calling from just north of where I am in Olympia, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart. Bob, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Yeah,
Bob, yes.
Here.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob. Great to hear from you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, my friend.
My John Paul story goes back to being a cradle Catholic. Going to a Catholic grade school, high school, and not understanding until I was encouraged to read John Paul's encyclical that explained how I was to live my life in the new commandment of Jesus, that as he says in John 13:34, as I love you, so you love one another.
Yes.
In that realization that I was loved.
Yes.
Then and only then was I able to love as I was called to love. Until then, it was my ego that was reaching out for my own satisfaction. But through John Paul's encyclical and the advice to follow the new commandment to love as Jesus loved, could I achieve the fullness of what I was then called to share God's love. What a privilege. What an honor. I can't do any better than that.
Oh, that was awesome. That was awesome, Bob. And God, and, you know, this is so, see, this is why the man's a saint. I mean, you know, we're hearing from so many people, myself included, who've been tremendously influenced by this great man of God, you know, and Bob's another one too. Taught him how to love, you know, for 1 John 4:16. I know for me, John Paul II really gave that verse from 1 John, John's letter, real power in my life. God is love. And he who lives in love lives in God. And God lives in him. Right? Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much, Bob. We're talking about John Paul the Great today on Beacon of Truth. And we have Michelle calling from Idaho, you know, just a state over from where I am, listening on Salt and Light Radio. Michelle, welcome to Beacon of Truth.
Hello, Deacon Harold.
Hello.
Hello. My John Paul II story is that I probably would not be married to my husband if it were not for John Paul II.
Wait a minute. Is this Michelle?
Yes, it is.
Oh, and come on, probably, Michelle. What are you doing?
You probably know this story, but I thought, you know, I don't know that too many people know this story. But as you know, John Paul II started the Institute, the John Paul II Institute in both Rome and Washington, D.C. And my husband, you know well, was... Mm-hmm. At the time, he was not my husband. We were good friends, but he was discerning priesthood, and he went to the John Paul II Institute and was introduced to John Paul's thought on marriage and family. And within a short time of being there, he discerned that he should be married to me, and we proposed, and we were married. Probably about 8 months after that.
Wow, that's awesome. And see, if that didn't happen, then I wouldn't have your daughter as one of my godchildren.
That's right. There are five beautiful souls who would not be here.
That's right. That's right. Oh, yes. That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
I love John Paul II, and I just, what else, what greater gift was there, right? So.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I couldn't agree with you more. Oh, so great to hear from you.
It's good to talk to you, Deacon Harold. I always enjoy listening to you at this time of day.
Thank you. You know, I met all the folks from Salt and Light at the EW10 radio conference, you know, so he said, you got to come back out to Idaho. I'd love to come, you know, especially this, to come and see you guys.
That, I know. That's awesome. Absolutely.
Oh, praise God. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. Please tell your wonderful husband and those beautiful children I said hello.
I absolutely will. And you tell your families hello from us, too.
I sure will. Thank you, Michelle. God bless. Wow, that was awesome. And we also on YouTube, we have Marie, who is watching. She said, he visited my hometown, John Paul II, visited our hometown and spoke in the park for hours. When I saw him in the Popemobile by my home, I knew he was special. I often remember him when I pass on that road. Oh, such a beautiful memory. And I attended the last World Youth Day for John Paul II in Toronto, Canada. and I got a chance to see him, and I got a great picture of him going by in the Pope Mobile, and I wasn't too far away from him. So I have a beautiful memory of John Paul II in person as well. I never got a chance to meet him, you know, but hey, you know, maybe I'll meet him in the hereafter. Right. Well, tomorrow is Word of God Wednesday on Beacon of Truth. We're going to break open God's Word in the Gospel for this Sunday, which will be the 30th Sunday Ordinary Time, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. Remember, you can stream today's show by visiting Podcast Central at ew10.com/radio. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.